Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode 17. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and as usual, I'm here with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter.
Hi, Rob.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm a little under the weather. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but...
I think we can all hear it.
Thank you, Peter. I've been struggling with a little illness this week. My voice is kind of going in and out, but Peter, we do this rain or shine, in sickness or health. This podcast every week, so we're going to power through this. I may need you to carry me a little bit. If I start to get bent out of shape a little bit, I start to go radioactive, and I may lose my voice, I'll flag you, I'll tap you in. Just be on the lookout, or really just be listening for cues. If you hear my voice start to crack and just kind of get really shaky, like Peter Brady in that old Brady Bunch episode. No, you don't know what I'm talking about.
I saw it when it first aired.
No, stop it. All right. So our headline item for this week is none other than the big news surrounding Intel and Intel security and the return of the McAfee brand. Let me tell you something, Peter. I never in a million years, this is the truth. I mean, this is sort of only a little piece of the Intel security story picture. But I never in a million years, after everything that's gone on with McAfee the brand, McAfee antivirus, McAfee the man, and how just sort of negative that name has become, how controversial that name has become, I never in a million years would have thought that name would have been voluntarily resurrected and brought back. Never. I'm not shocked that Intel Security is moving on from Intel. I'm not shocked that Intel is selling its security business. I am shocked that McAfee is making a comeback. So,
well, just to clarify,
yes,
because why not? Intel is not actually selling. It's a kind of complicated deal. They're retaining 49% ownership.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid, Peter. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
I know they're retaining 49%. I get it. It's almost, but not really owning the company.
Right. And the new business is going to be independent but jointly owned.
Mm.
So. And run by TPG,
so not really jointly owned.
Well,
run by the private equity firm.
Okay, TPG, the private equity fund.
Yes,
they own 51%.
Majority owners.
Majority owners. Intel seems to have conferred upon them the role of turning things around for McAfee.
Yes. It's gonna be a while before I'm used to that. But go.
Right. Max. So I'm still thinking. You reminded me of Alphabet, which is another corporate name that.
What's Alphabet?
Isn't that Google's parent?
Oh, I'm joking. See, I got you. I barely have a voice, but I can still.
You can kill it. I can. Totally.
Thank you.
No, you're very funny, man.
Oh, thank you. Tell me more. No, let's get on with the podcast. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, look, this reports of this happening had been out for a while. It's not that big of a surprise. However, so during a very busy, very busy, busy day in tech yesterday, right? There was, or I guess it was 2 days ago. We're recording this on a Friday.
Right.
Friday, September 9th, and the announcement was, I believe that was the 7th, right? The same day as the Apple event with the god-awful AirPod wireless earbuds.
The earpods
look like Q-tips sticking out of your ears.
That's not a bad look, that, is
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. The same day as the, I mean, not that most folks in tech care about this. I do. The PlayStation 4, Sony had a big press conference about the new PlayStation 4 version. There was the HP Enterprise news about them selling. I mean, there was a lot going on. And to just cover the specifics here, Peter, you wrote this story. Do you want to tell us, give us the raw numbers and explain what's going on here, since you already did sort of a breakdown of the deal?
Well, I can give you the 30,000 foot level.
Yes.
But if you don't have to go very far down to get to some of the sticky details. The basics that I hit in the story, the new business has been given a value of $4.2 billion.
According to
Intel and TPG.
Yes. And there's no bias there.
Well, they have to.
I know. I'm just being, I'm being glib.
Hey, nothing wrong with being glib.
I'm under the weather, so.
Okay. Well, okay. So. We need a cough button on the on these.
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay, so the new business, TPG and Intel, for purposes of accounting and all the all the paperwork, the business is valued at $4.2 billion. Intel will get $3.1 billion and a 49% stake in the business. Now, at the same time, there's some other stuff going on as far as financing and, a lot of this complicated stuff that it doesn't relate directly to security or networking or
sure.
the internet or anything. So
we don't need to go into all that, but it is the world we live in, man.
It is.
You know?
Totally. Intel bought McAfee. Was it McAfee then or was it Network Associates?
Oh, no, it was McAfee.
Okay.
It was McAfee Associates originally, then Network Associates, then McAfee returned, and then Intel bought them. And that was
2011.
That was when it was finalized. I think it was announced in 2010. So this is where I remember covering this years ago for a different outlet and seeing this news.
Mm-hmm.
They paid $7.68 billion in cash, so about $46 a share. $46 a share for McAfee, for an antivirus vendor in 2010, and so fast forward to today, 5-6 years later, they're selling essentially half the business, but a majority stake in the company to a private equity firm for $3 billion. What was it? $3.1 billion.
$3.1 billion. But I should note that if I understand the details correctly, there's $2 billion of that that got sunk back into the business, into the Intel secure, into the new business, McAfee, as sort of an investment or a loan or something.
Okay.
So, it's hard for mere mortals who don't have MBAs to figure out and parse the exact, how does this work? But basically, here's my take on it.
Do it.
If you want it.
I do.
Okay. Intel bought this shiny object five or six years ago. Okay. This beautiful thing, how else to put it, or this thing that caught their attention and they decided was something that they needed.
Right.
They bought it, and then they sort of, once they had it in the garage, they couldn't figure out what to do with it, and they tried different things. Maybe they painted it, put a new name on it, take the old name off, and then, of course, at the end, they're putting the old name back on again. But we'll talk about that in a minute, I'm sure. But so Intel bought this thing; it has obvious value. And after a while, they realized it's kind of like a soccer mom driving a Porsche 911, let's say. I don't know, one of the two seater ones. It's not practical for that person. Maybe it's practical for somebody else.
Not a good fit.
But it's not a good fit. They decided, but they want to get value. They don't want to put it out for the trash.
No.
They want to get some value for it, and they still believe that it has a lot of value, but they don't know how to tap it. So my speculation is that they found a buyer who is willing to give them almost half a share in whatever profits and revenue sure. they can get going forward, while they don't have to worry about it so much anymore because they're out of the loop. They find somebody to take care of it for them. So it's kind of like if you bought an apartment building and you didn't know how to deal with it, you bring in a manager, a real estate manager, for example. That's my guess. What do I know?
I think it's a good guess. I mean, I remember when this deal was announced, and my first reaction to it years ago, and to be clear, our own company, the folks that were at Certain Security way back when, had similar reactions to this. But it was like, okay, Intel, good for you for sort of getting into the security market, recognizing that it's important, trying to do something different. But why did they go with an antivirus vendor? Like, look, McAfee was a very successful business, but it had a lot of issues. It had a lot of antivirus vendors in general. We've covered this sort of ad nauseum lately. They've had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. But the way that Intel at the time talked about what they were going to do with this technology and this company, I mean, they were talking about applications for embedded security in chips, for industrial control systems, for Internet of Things, for so many applications. And I was just like, you're talking about a company that is a legacy antivirus vendor that does endpoint and client security. And obviously a lot has changed since 2010. We've moved, the AV industry has become sort of marginalized, oft criticized. We've moved away from signature-based detection into new areas. And the relevancy for this core technology, I mean, it waned. But at the same time, you have to say, well, Intel made this move. Certainly over the last 5 years, they saw the way the market was going. I know that they tried to do, I mean, we mentioned it in the story, and I highlighted it to you. They made a big bet not too long ago, I think it was last year, they made a big bet with the security connected strategy, with this idea that they were going to use these platforms, the data exchange layer and the threat intelligence exchange platforms, to sort of remove all these headaches for customers that had disparate standalone security products. And Intel is going to come in and sort of act as the hub and make these products work together and communicate with one another, so you didn't have these silos, so you got the data that you needed, you got the information that you needed about what was going on across your entire environment. Very cool strategy, very interesting, very ambitious. But now it's like, here Intel is saying, well, we couldn't make it work, so, let's set it free. Which is, I don't know, I mean, I'm of the opinion, and I know a lot of other people are of this opinion. Our former editor here, Eric Parizeau, who is now a security analyst with Current Analysis, has talked about this. But, Intel made a lot of investments in this acquisition to try to make security work, and security is, by all accounts, still growing. Very important part of the business. So why move on from it? Why do this now if security is so core to enterprises, and if it was so, according to Intel, so core to their vision of the future?
It's good questions. I mean, companies are like people in some ways. Stop making the face.
But, go.
Well, okay. So you get, companies have goals. Everybody has goals.
Yeah.
They have goals, objectives, things that you want to do, bucket lists. You want to move to a bigger house or drive a better car or go on a better vacation. all of those things require growth of income. And if you're a company and you want to, you know, you don't want a bigger car if you're a company, but you do want growth. And
yeah,
that's, you know, so all of these decisions are driven by desire to grow the company and grow the business, grow the bottom line. So the other side of the equation is everybody loves to see people making good choices, especially, okay, maybe not, but everybody, you know, it's more entertaining to watch the bad choices, but you want to see people that you respect or companies that you respect making smart moves.
Right.
And how do you define smart? Well, it depends on the outcome. You know, if the crazy Hail Mary play that you call at the very end of the game works, that was the right choice. If it doesn't, and somebody could have come up with a more obvious, more reasonable, rational, slightly better chance play for the end of the game or the end of the quarter even, you know, they're going to say in retrospect, well, the Hail Mary was a bad choice, or buying McAfee was a bad choice, or, you know, you forgot to mention another big thing that happened this week, which is the Dell deal. Dell EMC are now one big old private company, including RSA, which was another bauble that was picked up by a company that you didn't really expect to be buying a security company.
Right.
EMC bought them, and people were, you know, 10 years ago, people were saying, why? Why are you doing this? And that was another hotly contested deal. And at the end, you know, there were some thoughts that maybe, am I remembering correctly, that there was some talk about maybe spinning off, Dell was going to maybe, or EMC was going to maybe spin off.
Oh, RSA?
RSA?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, I mean, I guess that brings up a larger point. It's like, you know, security is supposed to be this all-important, you know, nonstop growth industry within the IT space. And yet we're seeing these types of deals and spinoffs and acquisitions kind of being undone. And it just makes you wonder, like, I don't know, are valuations too high for security? Is this more about the legacy guys? You know? And where it's really at is with the startups. Because you look at some of the VC money, you look at some of the acquisitions, the prices that are being paid for some companies, especially in the cloud security space. I've written about this a lot. I mean, these companies have scant revenue. And they're getting, you know, $200, $300 million acquisition, you know, prices, which is, you know, for a company that's only been around for a few years, that's pretty good.
Well, am I remembering this correctly? Didn't we talk about Blue Coat?
Yeah, Blue Coat. I mean, I mean, they're not a startup, but they acquired startups, and then that boosted their, in my opinion, it boosted their overall sort of value, so that when Symantec came calling, their acquisition price essentially doubled from, you know, within 12 months. You know, a private equity firm bought them 1 year for $2 billion, and then the next year, after a couple of smart acquisitions on Blue Coat's part, Symantec buys them for four or whatever it was. I think more than four.
I think it was 4.1 or two,
yeah,
or something like that.
So maybe that's it. But it really is weird to see a company like Intel. You know, I thought of all the companies out there that could make something like this work, even though my opinion of McAfee, at least on the antivirus side, wasn't very high. I mean, look, I'm sure, you know, there's some good technology in there, but when you tell me I gotta download a program to get rid of the agent for your antivirus program, and then I've got to do something else to get rid of the program that gets rid of the agent, like, you're not designing great products. Like, that's bad. You know, when your antivirus program is, and you know, look, we've beaten up on these guys long enough. I guess I don't need to go into it.
Well, let
major problems with antivirus programs.
Correct. But, totally.
But go ahead.
Let me just put it in context, because I remember 20 years ago, mid-90s, the internet is all over the place.
Wild
it's all
West.
Over the Wild West. There's no rules. There's no, you know, everybody was doing what they were doing. It was growing. It was a great time to be in the business if you were making the right choices and if you had a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you know, like let's say, you know, for example, we were talking about valuations and companies trading off different pieces.
Well.
You know, we had some weird combinations. There was, you know, all the stuff between Netscape and AOL and
AOL
and
Time Warner.
Time Warner, right. All of the different businesses that sort of, they were the next big thing. They weren't going to be, but they were. And then after, you know, after a few years of mismanagement or maybe a couple of bad choices, they turn out to be not worth so much. You know, all these companies that were trying to sell themselves out to the other bidders, you know, I don't remember the 90s that well. Let's put it that way.
I feel you.
But the fact is, yeah, there was a lot of that stuff going on, and there were some head scratchers going on back then. But that's what happens when you've got a whole brand new field of business to work in. And I think that where we were with the internet in 1996,
yeah.
I think we're roughly around there in 2016, 20 years later, with the security business.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out, you know, we're still working on some of the protocols for security.
Right.
And the internet is not fully baked yet by any stretch.
Yeah.
It's going to be a learning experience.
Yeah, I like I said, though, I'm surprised that Intel is kind of checking out and that they couldn't make this work. I thought there was... they have talented people. I mean, I'm not breaking news here when I say that. But I think it speaks to, you know, not just what's going on with security and the struggles that they had sort of executing on that strategy, but also, I mean, obviously Intel's had some things going on in their business, their core business with chips and mobile competition that's really sort of left them in a less than enviable position. So that may have driven sort of this idea that, hey, you know, we can spin this out. It's not going to cause us any more headaches. We can make a little bit of money off of it, still retain some ownership in it, and it's good for everybody. Meanwhile, we can sit back and sort of refocus on the core business of Intel. I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to do.
Well, let's talk about the name, because I did
say that the name, and then also what McAfee is going to do, because there is something I wanted to mention on that, you know, going forward. But yeah, the name, why, Peter? Why? You can't answer it, but you want to say something about
okay.
it. Go ahead.
I can't answer for them. I can answer for what I, you know, I can do my speculation thing. My speculation is, if you did a one of those things where you get the people into the room and you do a, I'm totally blanking on the word for it. You get random people and you put them in a room and you do
shock treatment.
No, you do marketing survey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's shock close, treatment. but it's not the same
yep.
thing.
Okay.
So. If you take random people off the street and you ask them about the brand Intel Security,
right?
I'm going to guess that probably everybody except the IT people are going to look at you kind of funny, because
right.
what are you talking about? And if you ask the same group of people McAfee Security, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I know them because they have all those
crappy agents."
The crappy agents. No. They have, because of all those pop-ups that I get when I
right.
buy a new computer that tells me to buy my
security. Yeah, oh God.
So now, let's say that it's only 5% advantage to McAfee. If I'm in business and I'm making a business decision and I own something that, you know, if I own something, hey, I found this name in the attic.
Right.
It's still good. We can still use it. and it won't cost us anything, and it'll get us 5% market share increase.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to do it. I'm not sure that that's actually going to work, especially if they're going to try to focus at the enterprise rather than the consumer side.
I mean, that's the question too. Or that, I mean, is this? You know, McAfee's got a brand recognition for consumer, end user, client device security. But to your brand question, the fact that people wouldn't really know what Intel security was that's not good news for Intel. I mean, that reflects poorly on, and obviously we didn't do the data, we're just hypothesizing here, but if that was the case, that doesn't speak very well for their efforts to really build that brand up and make it sort of make people aware that that's what they were doing with that business. So, but I don't know. I mean, I guess there's probably positives, like you said, to going back to the McAfee brand, but now you're back to the point of wondering, okay, is it consumer? Is it enterprise? Is it both? Is it antivirus? Is it legacy antivirus? Is it other stuff that McAfee has gotten into? And by the way, do we have to worry about the next time John McAfee is in court, because if he pulls, you know, if there's some O.J. Simpson stuff going on, are we going to have to change the name? Right?
No, you raise a very good point, which is that, and I'll generalize by saying it's, you know, things change. It's so mutable, it changes so quickly, and to be honest, I thought that Intel security was a good move because. Especially because, you know, when John McAfee was all over the headlines for things not having to do with security, it was bad news. And that was 2013, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm thinking,
that's right.
You know, when I read that stuff in the paper, John McAfee, the eccentric founder of McAfee Security.
Eccentric's one word. It's certainly a word.
It's not necessarily a story that I want my company to be associated with. If I'm Intel,
I guess beggars can't be choosers, but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, so and where is this company going? Like, what? And there's a lot of questions, and I think most analysts are saying this is not a terrible move on Intel's part because they couldn't make it work for a variety of reasons. Shifting strategies, changes in sort of how antivirus is used, and new startups supplanting legacy vendors, all that stuff. But, you know, there was an analyst at Forrester, Jeff Pollard, who had some interesting comments about the deal. And I just want to sort of read or paraphrase from what he wrote, because I think it's pertinent to, like, the questions about what is the new McAfee going to be? Long term, this is clearly a better situation for McAfee, but they reemerged from Intel security with a gutted portfolio due to recent sell-offs, and what stayed lacks feature parity and portfolio breadth when compared to competitors. This is an important point because they have sold some stuff off, they've discontinued products. So they sold off their next generation firewall. I believe they sold off. They sold it to Raytheon, and if memory serves, I think they also sold the next generation firewall and their firewall to Raytheon. They closed down a couple of the SaaS endpoint products and email security products, which were pretty well known. I think they got, I mean, a couple years ago, I think at least the email security one got a Reader's Choice. So they ditched those products. They sold off a couple others. Last year, they talked about this strategy about refocusing their attention on cloud security and endpoint security. Cloud security is very tough right now because there's so many startups in the cloud security space, especially around the CASB market, cloud access security broker market, that competition is really tough there. And endpoint's just sort of, I'm glad endpoint security is coming back and it's being focused on, because I feel like it was people punted on it for far too many years. But that's that's commoditized, man. So what's McAfee going to do? I don't know. I mean, Chris Young, very smart guy, very well respected. I think, you know, he's the right choice to lead the group. He's done a lot of good, but I think he's got a steep hill to climb, I think. So I guess that does it for our discussion on Intel security and, you know, at least the initial sale. I'm sure we'll be checking in on it more as time goes on. I expect to see some big strategy announcements and shifts maybe with the company as it sort of settles down post spinoff, sell-off. But let's turn to a couple quick items. Let's do a lightning round. Peter?
Do you want to give me the topics? And I'll respond. You call the topic out I'll give it 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You have a watch, like a real watch. Let me do... I've got a phone. I can do an actual like timer that I can read instead of having to look at a real watch.
Okay.
How long do you want? You want a minute?
No, let's do it a real lightning round. 30 seconds
each. 30 seconds. Okay.
Well, you know, 30 seconds from my response, not 30 seconds for the question and the response.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I'm ready.
Peter, we got big news. Our first item is there have been some arrests with the Crackers with Attitude. Go. You're wasting precious seconds on laughing.
Okay, sorry.
Yep, go.
These guys, you know, obviously don't know what they're doing. Don't know their lives are basically ruined, because once you get the attention of the federal government and the FBI arrests you, and you're 22 or 24 like these two guys were, you know, it's not going to get better for you.
I've seen Hackers. I know what it's like when they throw you in jail.
Right. I saw Hackers too. Well, there you go. We both know.
But these, just to clarify, these were the kids that were implicated.
Okay. There were a couple of high school kids from the UK that got picked up some months ago. This was all... John Brennan, CIA director.
Yes,
John
I believe Brennan, that's correct.
Among others, we found out that John Brennan, the director of the CIA, uses AOL for his email.
Had his Verizon account hacked.
Had his Verizon phone account hacked, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's correct.
Yes. And so they got a couple of high school kids in the UK, but these guys, 22 and 24, if I remember correctly, North Carolina, I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they thought they were making a statement.
Lulz.
Right, lols. Yeah, so, you know, I shouldn't laugh.
Kids these days.
Kids, you know, the young people, what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
no, you can laugh.
It's not good for them, and it's not good for anybody else. So, there we go.
A minute 30. I mean, did okay. All right, next item. Dropbox breach follow-up.
Okay, 2012. Go. We had, yeah, you got to let me see the timer.
Right here.
Okay. 2012, Dropbox credentials were exfiltrated, apparently. Don't have the details on that, but just fasten your seatbelts, because you're going to get phished and spammed, because all of the email addresses were in plain text.
Yes.
So you may not lose access to your Dropbox data.
Passwords were hashed.
Passwords were hashed reasonably strongly, but the bottom line is watch out for spam and phishing.
Phishing attempts. Phishing, and we should clarify, phishing emails that look exactly like the Dropbox, like the authentic Dropbox, legitimate Dropbox notifications.
Right.
And this was how the iCloud hacks were done against celebrities, the parties that sent emails that looked exactly like Apple. I'm going over. I don't give a, you know. they sent emails to celebrities, unsuspecting celebrities that look exactly like Apple.
Right. So don't click on links in your spam folder.
Okay.
What's the next?
All right. What are we doing? Where's my stopwatch? Okay. Cyber arms race. Michael Heller, senior reporter, wrote a couple of stories about the cyber arms race. Peter, what's going on there?
Okay. President Obama is calling for us to try to move away from using this stuff against nations, and everybody unite together and settle on some cyber norms for how countries and governments should behave in the cyber realm. And at the same time, we should all focus our efforts on getting the cyber criminals cyber arrested and sent to cyber jail.
Cyber jail would be awesome. Can it be like the Phantom? Can it be like the Phantom Zone? Can it be like Tron, where you got to go in and you got to like fight to the death with like the light cycles?
Isn't it already like that?
I mean, it could be.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
But, and at the same time, the experts that Mike was talking to, or some of them were saying, well, we're already beyond cyber norms. We're already beyond cyber arms race. We're in cyber open cyber warfare.
Well, we're talking about the Equation Group.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about cyber weapons, cyber nukes.
Right. People cyber pathogens. Hacking elections and all the rest of it.
Cyber jail.
Right.
I like cyber jail.
You do like
that. Man, I like that.
You do like that.
All right.
We'll have to come back to that.
We'll come back to it because we already went over a minute. Okay, last USB follies.
Okay.
Tell me about the follies.
All right. So I spotted a couple of really interesting stories this week. One is, and I love the way it was written up. The opening sentence of the blog post on this shouldn't have worked, but I tried it and it did. Some words to that effect. If you take the right kind of USB drive, plug it into an unattended but logged in and unlocked computer, you can get all the credentials off of that computer. I'm not sure that should be a big surprise, because if you have physical access to an unlocked computer, you kind of
probably do it anyways. Yeah.
But it's kind of cool because you can just
do it quickly.
You can stick your USB drive in there very quickly and walk away 20 seconds later with all the credentials.
Yeah, that's not good.
But the other one, this one came up last night. I was very excited. I saw it on my phone. Destroy all computers USB hack. You can buy. Well, they're out of stock right now.
Oh.
I checked. They were selling for 50 euros or maybe to US $50. I forget exactly the details of the ordering. You buy this thing. It looks really cool. It looks dangerous. And what it is a USB device that you stick into an open USB slot. And you push a button, and it shoots electricity all through the device.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
And you can even
so it's like shock therapy for your computer.
Exactly. It'll
and it blows up. It literally is a cyber weapon.
It'll brick the computer, and you know, in the story that I was looking at, they were talking about how the uses for that are, well, if you walk around, say, in an airport or so, as a red team guy, I guess, you know, you want to disable devices that shouldn't have access to US, shouldn't have open access. They shouldn't have open ports. Because if you've got an open port and you're unattended, somebody can walk over with the first one, with the USB hack that shouldn't be possible, get all your credentials. So, you know, if you have somebody else going around enforcing the rules for security, you know, I'm thinking of a guy with a black hood.
Right. Of course.
He's going around with this destroy all computers USB thing, and plugging that in and breaking and making sure that nobody else can get in and steal credentials.
Shocking the heck out of all.
Okay. So now I know I have no conceivable practical or even theoretical use for one of those things, but I want it.
Yeah, I want it too. I mean, it literally is a cyber weapon. You can like cyber nuke. Laptops.
Okay.
All right.
So next time we'll talk about the overuse of the term cyber.
Yeah, we can do that. Well, actually, next episode, I wanted to do it today, but my voice is shot. We got to talk about that OPM report on the OPM hack. That is, I still want to do a dramatic reading. I just can't do it with my voice as is. So we're not gonna do that today. Maybe next week.
Can't wait for next week.
Yeah. Well, Peter, thank you for joining me. I can stop the timer now. Thank you for joining me on this podcast with my my shot voice and for carrying much of the load. I appreciate it.
Very happy to be here, as always.
And thanks to all the listeners. As usual, I'm Rob Wright with Cert Security. Thank you for listening to this episode of Risk and Repeat. We'll see you next time.